Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. I'm Jake, joined by Matt as always. Matt, you had a pretty big weekend, my friend.
Yeah, it was opening weekend for the Utah Royals, so it was best weekend I've had in a long time.
Yeah, that's the women's soccer team, the professional women's soccer team in Salt Lake City. So I obviously wasn't there, but the stadium looked really cool. Sounded like a cool game.
Yeah, stadium, it was a sellout, which is really impressive for the women's soccer league. People were a little bit concerned about that. But I mean, they're selling standing room only tickets. Everybody was wearing yellow t-shirts. And like you always complain when BYU tries to do the everybody wear blue or everybody wear white. It never really works. Here it was like everybody was in yellow, and a lot less people have yellow than they do blue and white. So that was really cool to see.
That was really cool. Yeah, BYU doesn't do it well. Like other schools, like obviously, I think Utah does their striping the stadium better. Penn State does it really well. Indiana does it really well. You want to coordinate, but I'm glad the Royals were able to get it down.
Yeah, so the Royals did it. And I mean, the result on the field isn't what we wanted. They lost 1-0. But it was really exciting. There was a lot of opportunity. So if you're a fan of soccer, then these Utah Royals games are going to be fun to watch. And other than that, it was interesting. Like I mentioned, everybody was wearing yellow. They actually brought in Rachel Platten to sing the national anthem, and she also did a concert after the game. But
I didn't know who Rachel Platten was until you reminded me. So what other songs does she do?
She does Fight Song and Something About Standing By You are the two that I think people know.
Okay, cool. So she did the anthem?
She did the anthem. She forgot the words, though. So that was interesting. And like, I'm not going to make fun of her forgetting the words, because that's something that could happen to anybody. It was just interesting because she stumbled on the first line twice, and then a cameraman had to kind of like walk, kneel over to kind of remind her what the first line was. Which is only interesting because you know how when they send those fighter jets over and they always time it perfectly, and you're always like, wow, I wonder how they time it so perfect.
They didn't time it so perfect, did they?
Well, here's the thing. Thank goodness it was helicopters, because the helicopters must have had on the mic, because they were just sitting on like the north side of the field for the last like 30 seconds of the song, kind of like waiting, and then when it was time, then they started like moving forward again and going forward. So like, I don't know what would have happened if it was planes, but it was helicopters, so it worked.
That is super funny. That's lucky they were helicopters for sure.
Yeah. It was good though. But I mean, it was really, really fun game. Great environment. Deloy Hansen was out selling t-shirts to people and stuff. So I think those games are going to be just as fun to go to as the Real games. I think Utah's lucky to have them.
And I saw on Ashley Hatch's Instagram that the U.S. women's national team has a game in Sandy, Utah soon. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. They're going to play in Rio Tinto. I believe they play China, and it's either in June or July.
Might have to come up. Ashley Hatch, I'm trying to get her on the show. So if Ashley Hatch, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on as a guest.
Yeah. Or anybody from the NWSL, really. Just Ashley Hatch obviously went to BYU, so that would be really cool.
But yeah, any of them would be cool to talk to about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we go into a quick dive? There's a lot of sports stuff going on this week, so we're going to do a quick sum up and then talk about a lot of NBA topics again. But
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so let's start with a sport neither of us really watch. When was the last hockey game you actually watched, Matt?
Fairly recently. It was the Olympics. I don't remember whether Germany-Russia gold medal match or the U.S. That was the men's, or the U.S. played Canada for the women's. I don't remember what order those were in, but those were the last two that I watched.
Yeah, I missed the Olympics this year, so I watched one of the World Stanley Cup games last year, the Predators and the Penguins. I was working out with Garrett Peck, and like this in their house, and they had a TV, and that was the sports game that was on, so we were watching hockey.
Oh, nice. There you go.
So we were cheering for the Predators. I don't remember if they won that game or not, but they lost that series. But It is the playoffs in hockey right now. So the biggest surprise out of that, we're not going to go through every round, but the Golden Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights are up 3-0 on the LA Kings, which they're an expansion team. So this is crazy. They're the most successful expansion team, I think, in hockey history so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if how hockey does their expansion teams, but I don't think expansion teams work like they used to. LA Galaxy doing really well in the MLS, or LAFC, excuse me, doing really well in the MLS. Atlanta United doing really well as an expansion team. So I think they figured out a more fair way to do it than they used to.
Yeah. Let's see, what other games are interesting? The Nashville, they're up 2-0 on Colorado. They went to the finals last year. The defending champion Pittsburgh Penguins are up 2-1 on the Philadelphia Flyers, your boys. Thanos, the Sharks are beating the Anaheim Ducks 2-0 in the series. Let's see. Any other interesting teams? I think the Capitals, if I'm reading it right, it says they're down 2-0 to Columbus. And then one of the few things I know about hockey is that the Washington always chokes in the playoffs. So something to keep an eye on there.
Yeah. I'm going for the Flyers because I like Philadelphia, and the Anaheim Ducks because of Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, I'm a Sharks guy myself, so we're going against each other in that series. Another interesting today's Patriots Day. So today we're recording this on April 16th. So in Boston, like the Northeast, that's a holiday commemorating the battles of Lexington and Concord. But it's also, more importantly for Matt and runners, the Boston Marathon today. So, and an American woman won it. Matt, you'll have to go into the details on this. For the first time since 1985. So it's actually pretty cool to watch. I was watching it at work.
Yeah. Huge, huge day for American distance running. For the women, Americans finished first, second, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth. So you had seven American women in the top 10.
That's literally unheard of, right? I've never seen that before.
This, I mean, I'd have to look into it, but I would be surprised if it isn't by far the best Boston, or really any major marathon that the women have had. And even on the men's side, the men finished third, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, tenth. There you've got six Americans in the top 10. And I think I'm going to look into this and go into maybe write an article about it. But it was the coldest Boston Marathon on record, a lot of rain, a lot of wind. And I mean, the Kenyans and Ethiopians were in there, and it doesn't look like they really started dropping out until after 20 miles, maybe 22, 23 miles, they started falling back. So it was really weird, and that definitely helped the Americans, which, by the way, I don't want to say that to make it sound like it's taking away for them to be able to persevere through the weather conditions when the Africans couldn't. Really, really impressive.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you think that had something to do with like how good of an American showing it was?
It had to. And like I said, they haven't released the final results yet. They've only done the top 10, so I haven't been able to look into where the Kenyans and the Ethiopians ended up finishing. But it was kind of weird. Like, Des Linden, the girl who won, she's been a top marathon runner for a long time. But Jordan Hesse was a woman, dropped out the night before. We thought she was going to do well. Shalane Flanagan, we thought she was going to do well. And she finished seventh, but we thought she was going to be on the podium. All the other U.S. women are people that we haven't heard of, like Sarah Sellers went to Weber State. She's from Ogden. But it's a bunch of unknown women. And then the men's side, there's a guy from Japan who won.
Yeah, that guy from Japan, he was stoked. That was cool to see.
Yeah. So he, I was looking it up, has the record for the most marathons ever run under 2 hours and 20 minutes. He's run 79 with them today. So I've got to assume that with the rain, something about just being able to run consistently. The other thing that I would suspect is that a lot of times the African runners are a lot thinner, which is obviously something that helps in distance running, but they're probably a lot colder as well and didn't have as much body heat as the Americans, if I were able to just go at it stereotypically and not look at their height and weight. But But yeah, great, great day for American distance running.
Happy Patriots Day. And then this was a huge week in football, or soccer, as they say. First thing, Manchester City won the Premier League for like the second time ever. So congrats to them actually winning something. And then
happy for Claudio Bravo, got a Chilean on there.
We do got a Chilean. And the in the Champions League, Real Madrid beat Juventus to move on to the semifinals. So they'll play Bayern Munich in the semifinals. And the end of that, if you haven't seen it, you need to watch the end of the Real Madrid Juventus game. Did you see the highlights of that, Matt?
I did see the highlights of that.
I was watching it at work, and so it was tied 1-1, or tied on aggregate, so they would have gone to extra time, but in the 94th minute, so right at the end, the ref called a penalty on Juventus, so Cristiano Ronaldo for Real Madrid was going to get a free kick, and Juventus' keeper is the keeper for Italy's last name is Buffon, just lost his mind. Like, it was insane. I've never seen any situation like that before. Then he got a straight red card, so Juventus had to have their backup keeper in. First kick is asked to stop a penalty from Ronaldo, which y'all obviously didn't do. But that was insane. So, yeah. Like, I was showing my coworker work. He's not into soccer at all. So, like, it was like a drama show. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. It was where I think people were upset just because things always seem to go Real Madrid's way just because they're such a big name. If you look at it, though, I mean, tell me what you think. The Juventus guy definitely pushed the Real Madrid player in the back, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was close. I think that's a foul in, like, the 27th minute, but not the 94th, honestly.
Okay, but I just feel like the rules are the rules, and they should be the rules for the whole game. Like, he pushed him in the back. You can't push him in the back.
No, I totally get that. It's just that's a hard way to lose, honestly. Like, I wouldn't have called that, but it is the rule. It is a hard way to lose. And I did think it was a penalty, even though it was close, so.
Yeah. The other thing is Buffon must have said something very strong to get a straight red card in what's going to end up being the last Champions League game of his career.
Yeah, he wasn't – his post-game interview, he said the ref had, like, a heart of rubbish or something.
A heart of a garbage can is what he said, is roughly what the Italian translates to.
Yeah, so he was not pleased.
Which is a great phrase.
Yeah, so Bayern Munich, who I think is going to win the whole thing, they play Real Madrid, and then Roma plays Liverpool in the semifinals. So Champions League getting underway. Or finished.
Man, Roma and Liverpool are probably thrilled about that.
That Roma upset of Barcelona game, that was another crazy game. It's been a crazy Champions League season altogether.
Yeah, well, that was what made the Real Madrid thing so crazy, is for if you don't follow the Champions League, Roma, the team from Rome, essentially came back from losing 3 goals to win to beat Barcelona. So Barcelona lost a 3-goal lead. And if it wouldn't have been for that penalty kick, the exact same thing would have happened to Real Madrid. So I think they're going to be holding that over Barcelona's head for a long time.
Yeah, that Messi was less than enthused, some would say.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so that's kind of all the sports news. Basketball playoffs started, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But we really want to talk about – I want to talk about, and I think – because, man, I haven't talked to you a lot about this, so I'm interested to hear your opinion. Why Russell Westbrook is not getting MVP consideration. So – and here's why I think he should. Even though last year he didn't, I didn't think he should have gotten it because his team finished 6th in the West. And, like, that never happens. But we gave – by we, I mean not me, but like he was the MVP because he averaged a triple-double, which had only been done once in NBA history. So it was like something so historic you had to do it. Oversee James Harden, which I get, disagree with, but I get. But now he averaged a triple-double twice in a row, which is even more historic because zero people have done it before him. That's something that's never been done before. So it's even more impressive than the first time. And we're not even talking about him. He's not even in like the top five. It's all – and all these players really deserve it. But it's Harden and LeBron, and then Lillard and Anthony Davis are like the big four people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think it should be Lillard for like actual value to the team. But I feel like if we're going to give it to Westbrook last year for double-doubles or triple-doubles, we do it this year as well.
Okay, so remind me to come back to what you said about Lillard, though. I think that Russell Westbrook had a couple of things going for him last season that didn't this season. First off, he drug his team to the sixth seed. Like, if you take Russell Westbrook off that Oklahoma City Thunder team last year, then they definitely don't get the playoffs. They don't even get near the playoffs. And I think you might be tempted to look at it and say, like, oh, well, Oladipo's doing good at Indiana. Maybe would have done good last year at Oklahoma if Russell would have given them ball more. I think that playing with Russell Westbrook helped Oladipo to become the player he is right now, so I don't think that he would have been as good. You had he was scoring 6 more points a game last year, so I think a 31-point triple-double is a lot more impressive than a 25-point triple-double, although obviously a 25-point triple-double is still absolutely incredible. And then the other thing, unfortunately, and I think this is part of what's happening with James Harden, not that he doesn't deserve it, but that there's a narrative element of the MVP that happens that we just can't get away from. And so you had a whole Kevin Durant was leaving. Was Russell Westbrook going to stay or leave? When he did stay, was showing commitment. People get excited about that. And so I think he had the narrative to help him. This year, he's got Paul George. He's got Carmelo Anthony. He's not scoring all those quite as many points. And he just doesn't have the same narrative he had last year. So even though they're a higher seed, I don't think he has those things going for him, which is why I don't think we're hearing his name as much.
I agree. And again, I don't think he should be it this year, but I didn't think he should have been it last year either. I thought last year he should not have won it at all.
But don't you think he was the most valuable player to his team last year?
I think he actually cost his team Kevin Durant. So, no, I don't. Like, I know that doesn't, like, play into the voters' mind, but Kevin Durant left because Russell Westbrook's impossible to play with. So, really, he, like, cost his team the second-best player in the world.
Well, if we remember Kevin Durant's Twitter, he didn't say he didn't like playing with Russell Westbrook. He said that everybody on the team besides Westbrook was a scrub. So if he was going to stay, it was going to be because of Russell Westbrook.
I mean, I guess if that's what the source we're using is Kevin Durant's burner Twitter account.
No, but it was his Twitter account. He was logged into his Twitter account and he was the one typing.
I guess that's true. It wasn't even his burner account at that point. Here's what I think, and again, I just have a problem with the way it's voted on at this point because I didn't think he should have won last year. I think Harden last year was as valuable, even though he wasn't averaging, because he only averaged like 2 less assists. So if like they both would have averaged like, if Russell Westbrook would average like 9 assists instead of 10, and Harden would have averaged 7 assists instead of 8. Harden would have won the MVP, but just because we're fascinated with triple-doubles for some reason, we gave it to Westbrook. Even though, again, without Westbrook, they don't make the playoffs last year, but the Rockets were not nearly what they were this year. So Harden should have won it last year for sure, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sorry, you can go.
No, I was just going to say Harden last year averaged 11 assists, 8 rebounds, 29 points. This year, he's averaging 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 30 points. So statistically, he's probably actually having a worse year, ironically. And I'm obviously, and this is why this is a disagreement about just what the award should be. Because if it is statistics, then it shouldn't probably be James Harden this year. Or he certainly has less of a case this year than he had last year.
I just feel like it's a makeup award for James Harden at this point.
Yeah, I do think a lot of it is that he's been snubbed. It feels like he's been snubbed 2, maybe 3 times. And so you think it's Lillard this year?
Yeah, I think it's Lillard this year. I think, though, you can make a case for LeBron. One, Zach Lowe, a writer at ESPN, one thing he pointed out was that the NBA is the only league where they do numbers by averages instead of totals. LeBron has more total everything than James Harden this year. James Harden averages because he's missed more games, but LeBron is leading him in everything. And if you take one off the Cavaliers, think how terrible their season would have been.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, but I would say LeBron over Lillard. I'd probably go LeBron, Harden, and then probably Lillard.
Where'd you put Anthony Davis in that?
The thing with Anthony Davis is he's obviously been phenomenal, but he seems to have been doing it more half of the season. Like, people didn't really talk about him until DeMarcus Cousins got hurt, and he obviously took off after DeMarcus Cousins got hurt. I just think that there's something about doing it the whole season that I think should be rewarded, to your point about with LeBron having more totals than everybody. I don't know. So he's probably, I don't know. I'd say Westbrook maybe would be fourth and Anthony Davis would maybe be fifth.
Yeah, see, I think I agree with you, because same thing, honestly, with Lillard. The biggest thing for him, he's only been doing it half the year, but we talk a lot about the Jazz were in 10th place and forever and, like, left for dead. The Blazers were in 9th when the Jazz, like, Lillard's been on, Portland's been just as much of a tear as Utah has. But it's, again, been that second half of the year. And then Anthony Davis was good before Cousins got hurt, but he's been another level when Cousins got out of necessity. So I think if you extrapolate that to a whole year, Anthony Davis is almost a no-brainer MVP, if it wasn't a hard year. But because it's only half a year, it does get, again, not as much consideration. So I think, again, I would vote for Lillard, but LeBron's probably 1A or 1B with me on that, just because, again, he's been doing it literally all year. And in terms of just value, on top of him being the best player in the world, if you take him out, they're terrible. Like, that's a terrible roster, even before or after the trade deadline. Like, their best player is, who would you say it is, obviously, besides Kevin Love? I don't think...
Besides Kevin Love and LeBron?
Yeah, it's probably Larry Nance, wouldn't you say, is their third best player?
I mean, I haven't watched George Hill for them. I mean, if he were healthy, it'd probably be George Hill.
If it was George Hill from last year, it would be for sure. He just hasn't been that for Cleveland yet.
Yeah. Yeah, my thing with this, and I said this last week when we were talking about the rookie of the year, is just people are voting on different things. You know, so I think if people were voting on who has been the most valuable to their team and who their team needs the most, they would vote for Mitchell. In the MVP race, they would vote for LeBron. If we're voting on who has the best statistics and whose team has a better record, they're going to vote for Ben Simmons and they're going to vote for James Harden. And I just think there's more of those people than there are LeBron Mitchell style voters, which I think is dumb. Not that Donovan Mitchell and that LeBron James are going to lose, just that we don't know what the award is, which is kind of why I don't really care.
It really changes every year. Like, every year that it changes whether they want to do. Yeah. And which is super frustrating. I had a really good point, but I forgot it. Which is terrible.
Well, that's too bad.
I know. But one thing I was going to say for sure, though, is that with LeBron, he playing the 82 game. What was my point? F. Anyway, I'll just talk about something else and come back to it. But
all right.
I think with the MVP for the NBA, I agree with you that it's hard to – it's different every year. And part of the problem is the media members view it so much differently than the actual players do. Like, just Rookie of the Year, for example, almost every media member I read says Simmons should win it, and that's who they're voting for because they're the ones with the votes. But every player I hear from, or almost every player, says Mitchell should win it.
Yeah.
I think players would vote for LeBron. Like, last year they voted for Harden, like, because it was going to be an actual thing. But if you just polled them, I think they'd say LeBron's the most valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, you know, like, no-brainer.
Right. But
I think I agree with you. It should be added value to a team. Like, if the player wasn't on the team, how bad would the team be compared to what they're at?
Yeah. I don't know. And I think there's something about awards that kind of bugs me just because that's not why we're playing the game. Like, it's almost set up in a system, to your point, where if, and by the way, like, I don't want to accuse Russell Westbrook of stat stuffing because he's obviously getting lots of rebounds, lots of assists and stuff naturally. But he probably knows that he can go get on I don't know, every other night or so, if he can get a couple more rebounds, a couple more assists, he gets a triple-double, then he wins the MVP. That's not really what basketball is. And it's like with Donovan Mitchell, for example, he doesn't need to rebound because he's got Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors rebounding for the Jazz. But we're going to punish him in the Rookie of the Year race because Ben Simmons is, I don't know, I assume the second rebounder to Joel Embiid, and so his team needs him to rebound. Whereas if Donovan Mitchell was trying to rebound, that would probably hurt what the Jazz are trying to do. So we're like punishing Donovan Mitchell for being a team player, which seems stupid.
Dude, yeah, I was watching the Philly game, and it was crazy how many shooters Ben Simmons has on the team. Like, it just made me realize they're perfect, the Philly-Miami playoff series. Like, how well-suited Ben Simmons is in Philadelphia with that supporting cast, and also how well Donovan Mitchell is suited for Utah, where we need him to do that much scoring. Like, if you switch them, Donovan Mitchell would just be another guy, and Ben Simmons, like, he wouldn't have anybody to kiss, like, Philly has so much more space than Utah just because they have so many shooters. They got Bellinelli, J.J. Redick, Covington, Embiid can even shoot. So Simmons can do so much more. It's a perfect fit for him. The point I was going to make, though, was DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. Neither of them are ever going to win the MVP because they had the other one. So they're going to say, oh, well, if he left, Kyle Lowry's still there, or Lowry left, DeRozan's still there. And DeRozan, he could win most improved player. I don't think he'll win that. And he should be in a talk.
Yeah, Oladipo's going to win that.
All of people's going to win that for sure. But what I guess, I don't know, I agree that the awards are kind of dumb, but it sucks for like guys like Lowry and DeRozan. It's really just a product of your situation.
Right. And to your point, I know we didn't want to talk as much about the Rookie of the Year race this year, but then Ben Simmons said that ask 30 coaches and 30 GMs who they would rather have, and they would all rather have me. That's not true. Can you imagine, like, with the spacing problems the Jazz had with Ricky Rubio, can you imagine what the kind of spacing problems we would have if we had Ben Simmons?
Dude, it wouldn't be
like the Jazz would rather have Donovan Mitchell. I think the Rockets would rather have Donovan Mitchell because their offense depends so much on spacing and they would want to use him as a shooter more than anything. I think that the Cavs would rather have Donovan Mitchell because they don't need two LeBrons and they wouldn't want two LeBrons driving to the hoop. Their offense depends on spacing too. So just say real things, Ben Simmons.
Yeah, it's dumb. But yeah, teams like, again, Philadelphia, teams like Boston, even Toronto, Ben Simmons, because who already have established scores like that, would want Ben Simmons to run everything, distribute to the shooters and stuff. So it really just depends on the situation you're in, honestly.
Yeah. And I do think Donovan Mitchell seems to understand that. Like, he would like to win Rookie of the Year. It's fun to be recognized and stuff. But in the end, I think he understands that basketball is about winning championships and winning games. It's not about awards. So I don't think that he cares too much.
And unfortunately, the Jazz did not win their first playoff game. We're just going to do some quick hitter on the, because the first games of the playoffs went underway. So the Jazz lost to Oklahoma City. That was a big one for us. I want to talk about the Toronto game, the Miami Heat game, and the Boston game as well, briefly. But the Jazz started hot, and then I felt like – I don't know what I felt like. Just Paul George is incredible is what I feel like, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously that the Thunder shot 48% from three, largely because of Paul George. That shouldn't happen again. I don't want to say it won't because Paul George has nicknamed himself Playoff B. He does good in the playoffs, so that's stuff like that's going to happen. The Jazz, you know, I just think they kind of got punched in the mouth. I think the Thunder were playing really, really physical, and the Jazz maybe, you know, I think they were mentally prepared for that, but it's different to be mentally ready for it than to see it happen. You know, and then kind of try and go through it. But I think just having done it once, I think they'll be ready for next game. Hopefully Ricky Rubio is going to shoot better than 5 for 18. But I mean, outside of him, we shot pretty well. And I thought our offense played pretty good. I just think our defense needs to, you know, do a little bit better. I mean, the first few shots on Paul George were contested, but I feel like he got too many open ones.
Yeah,
I think Quinn's going to make those adjustments.
I felt like Mitchell, and this is a good thing, but he was like trying too hard at the end. Like, I love his attitude. Like, he wants the ball. He wants to take the shot. And then when he got hurt and was begging to go back in, like, I love his attitude on that. So that was really fun to watch in his first playoff game. I do think we have to win game two. I don't see us, like, for sure it's possible, but I for sure don't think we're going to win both those at home games. So it's not a guarantee that if we go down 0-2, we're going to come back 2-2 to tie it. So I really think we need this game even just to give us a little leeway in our home series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it'd be ideal. Again, I mean, Utah's a really difficult place to play, and I feel pretty good about those games. But, I mean, we need to win one in Oklahoma eventually, and sooner rather than later. So,
yeah, so we'll see. That game is Wednesday. Another game I want to talk about was the ending. This was probably the craziest ending, was the Boston-Milwaukee game.
Oh, yeah.
That game. So you just want to give us a 20-second recap of that ending?
Yeah. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's tied, or maybe the Celtics are up one. But anywho, they score. I think they make a three. They come back. Bucks come back. Giannis has a three-point play. So it must have been tied because Giannis tied it. Then Terry Rozier gets an ISO play. Just totally fakes out Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe is going totally the other way, so Rozier just has an open three that he hits with half of a second left. So yeah, 0.5 seconds left. Bucks advance the ball to half court, and then Middleton catches it kind of in the corner, right by kind of the half court line, and then just, you know, totally calm, just takes a regular jumper and he sinks it to go into overtime.
Yeah, that was like a literally 0.5 seconds. It was like, what, at least 35 feet, maybe a little more. It was like equilateral with the logo, but in the corner of like half court.
Where you're shooting. It was as far of a three-pointer that you can take on your side of the court.
That was crazy, and he just drilled it. Yeah, it sucks because Terry Rozier's shot was awesome, but no one's talking about that because of Chris Middleton's shot.
Yeah, yeah, and Chris Middleton, I mean, that was probably one of the best buzzer beaters in the history of the playoffs, and that's going to get forgotten because the Celtics won the game.
Yeah, so Boston did end up winning in overtime. Boston was winning by like 15 or so in the fourth quarter, and then I was watching it in church and I turned it off because I was trying to focus, you know, get some blessing for the Jazz game. And then I checked that my ticker said Boston 99, Milwaukee 96, end of the fourth, so it's like, oh, it's over. And then I check a little later, and it's in overtime. So I'm like, what happened? And then so I didn't see that play until after, but I watched the rest of the overtime. But yeah. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Super, like, playoffs basketball is just so exciting.
Playoff basketball is fun, yeah.
Then Saturday, I watched the Toronto Raptors-Washington Wizards game. Toronto looked really good. DeLon Wright, former Utah Ute, killed it. He had 11 of his 18 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, good for DeLon.
Yeah, and then the Miami Philly game, I fell asleep at halftime. So it was really close at halftime. I think it was like within two or three. And then I wake up and Philly won by like 30. So I'm going to have to rewatch that game or something somehow because I don't know what happened, but Philly killed Miami. I still think Miami won that game though, especially without Embiid, or excuse me, that series. Like, I think Spoelstra is a much better coach than Brett Brown, and Miami's got enough talent where they can play with Philly, so they can hopefully steal a game in their next game. But I think Miami can win.
Well, as of now, they're down 9 with the first quarter about to end, so they've got their word cut out for them. Yeah, I picked Miami too, but I'm a lot less confident now than I had been.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll have to see what happens. Any other – everything else kind of held shot. Oh, except for Cleveland getting killed by Indiana. Did not. I don't think that'll happen. Oladipo shot, like, incredible. He's obviously a really good player, but I think Cleveland wins game two, and I think they win that series still. So the only upset I'm, like, really think could happen – I hope Milwaukee gets a game or two, but I think Miami's the only upset in the series that could happen, though.
See, well, the Pacers game, that was the A couple weeks ago, we talked about who we thought would make the finals. I said Toronto, and the reason I said Toronto is because Cleveland's defense is just so bad. It's so bad. Like, if you watch it, it's just like layup lines. And so I didn't think that they were going to lose to the Pacers, but I think they could lose to the Pacers, particularly if they, you know, lost by that much, and Oladipo is going to be a stud. It's like Paul George. He's not going to be that much of a stud in the next game, but he's still going to be Paul George. You know, Oladipo's still going to be Oladipo, and I don't realistically see any way that Cleveland is going to be able to slow them down. So LeBron is just going to have to be, you know, playoff LeBron, finals LeBron, like two rounds before he usually needs to.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think Cleveland can win the whole thing because their defense is so bad that they just have to outscore everybody. So bad. LeBron has to, man, plus Hood and Jordan Clarkson have to be shooting well. So you're just asking for a lot of consistent shooting out of a lot of inconsistent shooters to win a series, but multiple series, and get to the finals again.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to pick the Pacers quite yet, but I would not, after the game one, I would not be surprised if the Pacers beat Cleveland.
Yes, we'll see what happens. I still got Cleveland there. I think Utah, I don't want to say the win game too, but I think they got a shot. I won't be surprised if they lose. I'll say that. Or if they win, excuse me. I guess, honestly, the whole series, I think it'll go to 6 or 7, whichever team wins that series. Like,
Yeah, it's going to be way close. And I think it's just going to be that, as if they're, you know, Royce O'Neal can adjust and play Paul George a little bit better, which, by the way, we talk about Donovan Mitchell being a great rookie, and he had a great game yesterday. But, I mean, Royce O'Neal, to be as good of a defender as he has been, is just a great, great pickup for the Jazz. I'm all about Royce O'Neal.
He's not going to make it, but he, there are media members who think, who, like, vote him or at least give him an honorable mention for all-defensive team in the NBA.
That's absurd. That is absolutely...
Right, Dennis Lindsay and here are just incredible. Yeah, if there's a GM of the year, I think Daryl Morey should win it because of getting Chris Paul, but Dennis Lindsay should win, like, GM of the last few years or something like that. He's awesome. So I'm on my way to my rec softball game. That's what I'm doing tonight. Any other, like, closing arguments, though?
Not, I don't think so. We didn't talk about Real Salt Lake. We're not going to talk about them a lot, but I just want to say they did lose 4-0 to New York. Still not worried. Concerned, yes. Our defense is just really, really banged up, and I see this. Just watching, it just didn't look like there was a lot of organization, not a lot of good communication. So I'm really excited to see if Justin Glad can step up and really lead that defense, not just as a player, but as a communicator and trying to organize everything. And I also think the Real Salt Lake has had the most difficult starting schedule in Major League Soccer, and that's going to calm down a lot. So we shouldn't be seeing those same results for much longer. Probably, I would bet the rest of the season we're not going to see it if he like that again.
Yeah, they lost. The Giants lost the series 3-1 to the Padres. So I guess they won a game and lost three is a better way to phrase it. So there's no more humbling feeling than losing a series to the Padres. So
sorry for your loss.
No, okay. They're playing here in Arizona Thursday, so I'm going to go to that game. I'm excited. I already got my tickets.
Oh, nice, dope.
Cool. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out next week. Again, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, MJ Double Take. My handles for those are Jacob Cowden 28. Matt's Twitter is Matt Cowden 24. Also, check us out on our website to check out our articles coming up. Matt mentioned that article he's going to write. I got a really exciting one about BYU football coming up that you're going to want to read. That's mjdoubletake.blogpost.com or blogspot.com. Pretty sure it's Blogspot. mjdoubletake.blogspot.com. So check it out there. Thanks for following. Thanks for listening. Again, subscribe. We're on Apple, Spotify, Audioboom, and iHeartRadio. Feel free to leave a 5-star review. Thanks so much for listening, and talk to you guys next week.